Welcome to The Afterglow. The Afterglow podcast gives women, we're talking to you, the permission and tools to live life according to your own rules.
Yes, this is a platform to educate and empower women identifying humans through intriguing conversations with courageous Canadian women who are breaking down limiting beliefs and outdated rules. These women have done it, are doing it, or can provide tools for you to do the same.
We are Julie Watson
and Liz Doyle-Hermer.
And we started Afterglow, our yoga studio, after years of staying home to raise kids. Now, as podcasters, we want to help others do the same. Step into your own power. It's time to shake things up and get real about who you are and what you want.
The Afterglow is your next act. It's what came after you did what you were told and instead decided to do what was in your heart. It's how you have reinvented yourself. It's your vision for the next 40 to 50 years. It's when you took your power back.
We are so honored that this season the Richards Group has chosen to sponsor us. And as we wrap up our season two, we are grateful for them for all of their work in our community. And so remember that when it's time for your next move, of course you only want the best, and the Richards Group brings it. They have people who bring expertise to every part of your experience, and they live and they breathe the East End. So they give you exclusive access to homes, and they know how to maximize your investment better than anyone else. They are the number one real estate agency in Toronto's East End, and so they're going to get you where you want to be, and they're going to do it with so much care. So thank you so much to the Richards Group, to your entire team. We are honored and privileged to have had you as our sponsors for season two of the Afterglow podcast.
Welcome to the Afterglow. Julie, I'm so excited to be here with you today.
This is always like one of my favorite episodes to do. As much as I love meeting and interviewing and learning about all these incredible women, I'm so excited to like just be able to have the freedom to just kind of like, I don't know, chit chat, throw things out there, reflect, and I don't know, celebrate. Remember we did this last time where we realized that we don't celebrate each other, or we don't celebrate our, experiences enough. And this is also like a celebration for us too, of winding down season two.
Yeah, it is. It's a big celebration, right? We started this in COVID, so 2020, but yeah. This year it wasn't any easier. This was also a tough year. And I know last year we had all these personal growth and reflections and stuff, and that just continued into this year too. And so, you know, there was COVID, there was our own personal growth, there was managing our families, and then interviewing all these amazing women and learning from them and their stories. And I agree with you. This is one of the most, exciting interviews or exciting episodes rather, because we get to reflect back on everything we've learned and all the incredible women we've had on this show. And Canada, there's no shortage of women amazing women in this country.
Yeah. And we're constantly in our research when we're looking for ideas and women, and people are sending us ideas, just blown away by things that we didn't even know existed, right? Like we didn't even know, about specific women or businesses or companies that existed and what they have done. And then when we, you know, we think, oh, this is a good idea. For example, you know, Komal Minhas, our first guest of season two, we'd heard about her. We didn't even know her story. Mm. And then we start reading about her story and how she overcame and what she's, you know, where she's come from. Then we get like so into these women and their experiences. And I mean, I am so proud of this opportunity for us and so humbled by these women who like grace our presence and give us the opportunity to get to know them.
Yeah. So one of the things you had brought up as we were preparing for this interview or this episode, I keep saying interview episode, was just Komal Minhas's definition of resilience.
Yeah. So interesting thing is we talked about themes for what themes really came up for us this season. And resilience was a theme through and through. And we started with Komal and her episode was about resilience. So she talks about like the Webster's Dictionary, definition of resilience as, you know, being able to quickly bounce back from, you know, adversity. Mm. And she didn't like that because the words quickly and bounce back kind of diminish what you actually go through in when you are overcoming. And so her definition is more like our capacity to move through, tackle, and overcome difficulties in our lives, which I love better. And then she also went on to say, you know, overcoming hard things. And that's been a theme since we, you know, pulled that tagline from Glennon Doyle's book. Why am I drawing a blank on the name of her book?
Untamed.
Untamed. Thank you. My gosh, it's been like a powerful theme, but you know, we can do hard things. And it is true. It's like we encounter these things or we go through these things in our lives that just knock the shit out of us. And it's not bouncing back. It's not bouncing back quickly either. Right. And I think that does a disservice to all people who have overcome, and whether it's taken them like, you know, years or months or whatever it is, or different kinds of therapies or whatever, it is the overcoming of, it is the moving through something that's difficult. So I loved that. And I loved that we really saw so much resilience in our guests this season.
Yeah. I want to touch base on resilience and the first guest that came to mind when you brought up resilience. So I'll go there, but I also just wanted to point out that Komal Minhas also talks about persistence and how persistence was, you know, what she used to get that interview with Michelle Obama. She didn't give up. And it just made me think how we had asked Komal in season one to be on our show and we got a no. And then
she said no. Know, she was like, no, too busy. I'm doing other things.
But we got her in season two. And so, you know, sometimes persistence pays off. But the first person I thought of when you were giving the definition of resilience and that capacity to overcome difficult things was Lynn Keen. You know, we talk about resilience. That episode was such a heartbreaking and hard episode for
all of us.
It
was a heartbreaking episode. Yeah, that really was. It was a heavy day. It was a heavy day.
It was, but it's, you know, it's an episode worth listening to if you're a mother or honestly just a human on this planet with people that you care about, because she really shared the signs to look out for suicide.
And
mental health issues, because she had lost her son to suicide. And so, you know, really just the resilience she showed and overcoming that and then just living with that, right? Because that's not something you bounce back from. You don't bounce back from losing your son, right? That is something you live with, right? That's truly resilience, is to live in that hardship every day.
Right. And then she took that and she's written a book, and then she goes around and she's sharing her story with other families, people with mental health, you know, doing suicide prevention. So she's like doing something with that. So I think that also, like for me, in my own definition of resilience, it's like doing something with the hardship. But I agree. I think that Lynn Keen was, you know, she's just an incredible woman, and to be able to go ahead and do that and move forward.
Yeah.
Keep moving forward.
I know. Yeah. So I love that. So doing something with the hardship, right? There was a couple of women we had on our guests who really used their adverse experiences, Lynn Keen being one of them, to bring that forward and find a sense of purpose and service and giving back. And you know, Jen Harper was another one, and really, you know, she was quite honest with us on her episode about her alcohol addiction. Right. And overcoming alcohol addiction, which was for sure in some part fueled by Aboriginal racism in this country.
Right. Absolutely. Her Indigenous roots. Yeah, and one of the things that I remember remarking on when we spoke to her was that, you know, it's rare that we have interviewed an Indigenous woman who has not had the experience of alcoholism, of sexual abuse, right? Of all of the things that we're seeing over and over again of the intergenerational trauma that exists. And so, yeah, I would say that with Jen Harper too. And then again, she comes along, she creates this product that's amazing. And not only is it, you know, like very Indigenous based, where she's, you know, naming the products after Indigenous women, you know, creating these natural products, but she also gives back within her company. So a percentage of the company she's giving back. And so doing something with her hardships. I agree. And the same thing with Taylor Lindsay Noel.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I think I want to talk about Lindsay, but just on Jen for a minute, just, you know, I think her alcoholism was almost in a way came from the pain of some of it, the Aboriginal hardship, right, that they're facing in our country. But then when she reconnected with her Aboriginal roots, just really finding her love for the environment and her beauty product, they're environmentally sustainable. And also that giving back, which is a part of Indigenous culture, as you said, right? Like, it's not just you. You don't just look out for you. You look out for others.
Yeah.
Right. That really being there. And
Taylor Lindsay Noel. I know there's a lot of names in there.
You've got so many names for such a young thing, 20 something, a gymnast, right? We're talking about the Olympics right now. And that accident that she had, you know, as a gymnast that severed her spine and her ability to walk, talk about resilience and the ability to come back and create a business and make a different life for herself. There's no victim there for her.
No. And the other thing about her is seeing her when we had the interview, you know, we're on the screen so we can see her. We see her in her wheelchair. We see her with all of her, aids that are around her that are exist within the wheelchair. And she is this vibrant, energetic, positive, funny woman, right? Who has, again, overcome. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, she has the days and the regrets and the anger and the resentment, and she's moved through a lot of that, but she too has chosen to, you know, create this business Cup of Tea and move through it. And, you know, this is the life that she has now. So what is she going to do with it?
She was so inspiring. Yeah. On the theme of giving back, Rebecca Higgs, DIY mom. That was such a fun and such an interesting episode because you see someone on Instagram, right? You see an influencer, you see someone on Instagram, she's done well, she has a TV show, and automatically my mind makes snap judgments, you know? And I just thought, okay, she's going to be superficial. She renovates homes. This is just going to be superficial and let's make our house pretty and pink. And there's so much depth to her.
Oh, amazing.
That episode, I would love all of our listeners to go back and listen to that episode because there's so much depth to her. She was so vulnerable with us. And also she's another example of someone who had experienced past hardship, her own hardship with an abusive relationship, and how she wants to ultimately, what she's about is not beautifying homes only, but it's about creating a space for disadvantaged women to have a safe place to live so they can escape abusive situations, right? Like it's just so much more to people.
I know it is. And that's what, like, again, when we first, you know, get the go ahead for these interviews, we have this idea of what we're going to be talking about and we go into it. And that was a surprising interview for me because again, like, I agree with you. I felt like it was going to be this, you know, not like she was superficial, but the interview itself was going to be talking about lighter things and what color we should be, you know, what's the color of 2021 and whatever. We didn't even talk about that. But the other thing about her was she has done so much inner work that she gave us some really good tools, some books to read, you know, some ideas. And one of the things that I really took from her is how for her community and the support of other women has been so huge in her own recovery and her own life. So I agree. I think that giving back, it's a theme that came up with a lot of our guests as well, is how can I use, you know, my experience to really give back. Let's talk about some other themes that we've got that came up for us this season, because I know you really, really loved this theme of that came up a few times, and recognizing this for you was like the disruption of the status quo.
Yeah. So, I mean, this brings me back to season one with Vicky Saunders. And, you know, I remember her on the episode and she's like, the whole system's broken. It just needs to be torn down. And it, you know, it, because there is this idea of let's elevate women and people of color in this system that is. And then at the same time, let's tear it down because mm-hmm. it's not working. And she was kind of the first one that really opened myself, my eyes up to that. And that's certainly what she's done with her organization. So highly recommend people go up and go back and listen to that episode as well as check out CEO. But we've seen that more and more is these women disruptors who are breaking down these existing system and structures that, you know, it doesn't matter if we put women into them or people of color into them, if there's embedded racism and sexism into it, it needs to be undone, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, some of the people who did that, well, you know, Karen Cleveland she did that in what you would think is a superficial way, but again, a very profound way in terms of disrupting marriage and marriage.
Well, Karen Cleveland and Michelle Bilodeau.
I'll mention that, the two
of them.
Yeah.
In writing this book, the new wedding book.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that we said as well in our podcast and announcing it is like the book isn't actually just for people who are getting married. Mm-hmm. What we found was that it just describes so many archaic ideas. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome for me to learn about, you know, just the shit that existed for mm-hmm. no reason other than to serve men. Mm-hmm. And that we still as women subscribe to these traditions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of them are very romanticized. And so maybe we want to keep them, maybe not. And that's sort of what the girls were saying is like, you know, let's turn this on its head. Here's all the information, actually. Mm-hmm. Here are the realities of why these traditions exist. So now you have the information. Mm-hmm. What do you want to do with it? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. I love that, you know, and I remember just the veil originally being something that was used to cover up a woman in case she wasn't attractive enough for the man, you know, and then at the last minute, it's too late, you're already married, this is what you've got. And, you know, is that what you want to carry forward? Maybe it is, maybe you don't, maybe it's something, maybe you have a different meaning for the veil and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But there was something really just interesting in learning about the history of some of these traditions. Sarah Cran was another guest we had on, who was really, in a way, her and her organization disrupting the way sexual education is delivered, right? And really bringing in pleasure and permission to have pleasure. Because they recognize that the more women are attuned to what feels good, the better they're able to say, no, that doesn't feel good, right? Like you almost need to know pleasure in order to say, that's not what I want. And
the whole flip the script, mm-hmm. which is about that, about giving women the power within mm-hmm. themselves. Because when we talk about sexual violence, it is a lot more about how do you protect yourself, women? Like don't walk outside late at night and don't mm-hmm. wear the slutty clothes and all that stuff. Whereas it's like, this is more about how you can live your life mm-hmm. and then protect yourself in the situation where I know my body, I know what I want, and I know how to respond, right? And I think that it's important. We also talked about in that episode, how can we educate our boys and men about, you know, sexual violence and their responsibility in it too. So I do love that. And I love the title, Flip the Script. We can flip the script on everything. I mean, that's a great podcast title, Flip the Script. Like, let's just switch it up. And I think that's what a lot of these disruptors have done, right? Like, think about Janelle Amasa. Mm. I mean, this woman is, you know, so just stunningly beautiful in everything that she exemplifies. And her voice is so incredibly powerful. And she, you know, was kind of like a behind the scenes in the news and media industry. And then she stepped out in front of the camera and she's loud and proud.
Yes. Yeah, she's incredible and also just fun. And
she was so fun.
Yeah, that was a super fun episode. Jillian Murphy too, who we had on disrupting just diet culture.
Freedom, body, love.
Yeah, disrupting diet culture and how we see ourselves. And again, like I think that's a big message that maybe a lot of us have not been aware of, that there's this huge diet industrialized culture, which has been messing with your brain, which has been making you feel like your body is flawed your whole life. And, you know, some of us have been able to adapt to that better than others. And, you know, I think, again, it's just awareness, just like Karen Cleveland and Michelle Bilodeau were doing. Just let's just build awareness around this. This exists. And you decide, where do you want to be with this? Mm-hmm. Is this serving you? Is it not serving you to think about what size your body is, or, you know, how much food you've eaten that day, or whatever it is, right?
Well, and I love her honesty as well, because she talked about how she struggled with it and how she overcame, and, you know, the things that she had to do, and realizing that even when she thought she was doing the work, she wasn't actually doing the work, because she still had these kind of embedded ideas about what, you know, society's expectations were on her. So, you know, we're all so caught up in it. Even when we think we're doing the work, we're still kind of tweaking it to serve what we're so used to. Right. Yeah. But I loved her. And, another, episode with the Rebel Mamas, Nikita and Alexandra, they've written two books. The one we focused on most was Get Your Shit Together, which first of all, two women writing a book called Get Your Shit Together right there is like, you know, let's flip the script, like switch things on its head and have women write and be honest. And like, here's how it is, ladies. And I talked about this before, but I say that in my house all the time, like, come on, get it together. And my kids actually commented the other day that I do say get your shit together a lot. So I probably should maybe tone that down a little bit, but I love it, because it's about the book itself. And what these two women have done with Rebel Mamas is changing the way women are expected to be in our society and giving us the tools and information so that we are more empowered to actually be equal to men, you know, have the same opportunities, understand how we have our differences, but that we can still exist in the same capacity in business, in parenting, you know, in the world.
And to really take control of our finances too, in a super fun way. Like, I loved, their book is so much fun. I love that there'd be like a chapter on saving and debt, and then they'd have like hot guy break or hot woman break, you know, here's just a picture, you know, let's keep you engaged. And keep
that was a little heavy. Just take a moment.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
One of the other things we've noticed is just women, another level of speaking up, you know, and I think, because this has been a trend or a theme for a while, right? Women, the empowerment of women, we know this is not something that's just started in the last couple of years. This has been something that's been going on for decades. It's been a movement. It's been progressing, but we're reaching a deeper level of it. And women are really, you know, they're taking off the gloves and they're just speaking up in a new way. And for me, one of the women that really stuck out in doing that is Jen Holness, because she was already a powerful storyteller.
Oh yeah.
Telling incredible stories, documentaries, covering subjects like war and drugs that other people were not covering.
Right. And racism. So she's a Black director, producer, writer.
Yeah.
So she was already in it. And then, you know, George Floyd, she talked about how when George Floyd happened, she just realized that this is another level and I don't have to be silent anymore. I don't have to, like, you know, temper myself around people. I get to, and this is like what I'm going to be doing now, is taking a stand, stepping up. And since then, I mean, she's made huge strides in the community of film and television with, you know, her, all of her engagement in racism.
Yeah, I know. I love that. I just loved it when she said, like, there's another level of speaking up for her, you know, which is just, whoa, like, if that was not speaking up before, what's next for you? You know? And as you said, all these seeds that she's planting now, it's incredible.
And I think that when women do that, then they give permission to other women to do that. Like, even as we have kind of grown into our second season, I think in our first season, you know, we were a little bit, you know, more cautious about the language we used, and rarely would mention the word patriarchy because it was sort of offensive at first. And now, I mean, people are throwing around the word patriarchy all over the place because it's a fact, it's a thing, it exists. So I think that even for ourselves, you know, we're moving into this other level of speaking up because we've been given permission by all these other women who are doing the same.
Yeah. And I think it really goes hand in hand with this disruption of the status quo, right? Like, there's no tiptoeing around it. It, it, we, you know, it takes courage to speak out and say, this is not working, right? There's racism here or sexism here, or, you know, whatever system is in place that's not working. It requires a bolder voice to really call it out.
And you mentioned that Elaine Alec from our season one, you know, we've seen her since we met her last August, and she had written a book to Call My Spirit Back. And since then, we've seen her like up-level her voice even more. And so it's a really empowering, beautiful thing to see that you mentioned that.
Well, especially in light of, you know, the recent mass grave discoveries, right? Like she had been speaking up for a while, as you said, but suddenly there's more. She's speaking up more. This is outrageous and, you know, maddening. And she's speaking up and she's asking to be heard. And one of our other guests who did that, and I love the name of her book, Selena Cesar Chaban, you know, can you hear me now? And like, I almost want to, you know, add in like, can you effing hear me now? You know, like that's the tone of the book. Like I am, you know, and she, because of her frustrating experience being in government, you know, and so pre-George Floyd, being in government, wanting to be involved in Black issues. She's a black woman herself, Whitby, MVP of Whitby, and being excluded from those conversations, right? And, you know, her experience with that, and just the frustration that she felt. And so writing that book, Can You Hear Me Now? not waiting to be heard anymore, demanding it, you know, and figuring out how it's going to happen.
I love that. And I loved her honest stories about the experience that she had in government. Right. So I encourage anybody to go back and to listen to that. And she too is like this powerhouse. That was like another theme, is these women with these strong voices that just really have come into their own or coming to their own, really knowing themselves and then having these strong voices to speak out, like Perdita Felicien, who is Olympic athlete now turned newscaster. Her voice was like, I felt like I was like lit up the entire time that I was listening to her. I was so excited. And then she too is speaking up on another level. She's like, you know, this is where I'm at right now. This is what I'm going to do. Here's, you know, what I want to say. And she's also written a book as well about her mother, my mother's daughter, and about her experience, her mother's experiences and what she's learned from her as well. And I think that anytime you're that vulnerable and you're really revealing that much about yourself and your life, particularly about, you know, your family's stories, and there's a lot of just really uncomfortable stories in there, you are taking a stand for something. You are taking that next level up to say to the world, oh, hey, by the way, this is what's gone on. This is like, these are our realities. So I really honor these women who have been able to be so vulnerable and speak up.
Yeah. I think Perdita also speaks to this idea of like looking back behind you, like what are the experiences that have shaped you in your past and how do you want to bring that forward? And it really was the trials and tribulations of her mother that motivated her, you know. And I remember one of the things she said is, how could I not be great with the mother that I had, you know, like just everything she's done is actually in devotion to her mother, you know. Just even thinking that makes me want to cry, because it was really her love for her mother that fueled her performance in sports. You know, she wanted to make her mom happy, and it's just their connection was just so touching and beautiful.
It is beautiful. The other story I love about that is when she ended up, you know, tripping on the gate, the first gate right out on the finals at the 2004 Olympics. And when she came off of the track, she called her mom and, you know, she was just devastated. And her mom said, "You are gold." Like you are the gold. And like, I got chills when she told us that, when we read that part of her book, and just to, again, have that relationship, but to have that reciprocal relationship, right? Yeah. Where, you know, she got so much from her mom, but she's also giving back to her mom at the same time.
I think so too.
It's such a beautiful thing.
I'm just realizing this now, that sometimes, you know, kids do well because they want they want to get love, but she was loved already. You know, like she fell out the gates and her mom was like, it doesn't matter, you're gold already. You know, she was loved already. You know, it wasn't, it was really just about devotion that she was doing it rather than wanting to be recognized or anything like that. It was beautiful. And one other theme that really sticks out for me is just a couple of our guests really just having a connection with spirituality. So, you know, Selena Cesar Chavan, that was with her, you know, that was for her. That was one thing that really helped her. And she even talked about, you know, going to the Catholic Church and they were judging her and she had to leave the Catholic Church and find spirituality a different way. And Janelle Amasa, for sure, her spirituality being very important to who she is as a broadcaster and even DIY mom. She really talked about her religion and how religion was important to her and something she reflected on regularly and was a tool of support for her.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, I mean, there has to be some sort of spiritual guide or guide, you know, whether it's a God that you believe in or the universe that has your back or like all of these women, you know, Zahra Al-Harazi, who you know, came from Yemen, right? This like war-torn country and then had no skills, had no, you know, training, formal training, anything, went out one day and got herself a job at like Daniel Leather in a mall. And from there moved up and her life changed. And so you've got to have some sort of like inner knowing or external belief in something to guide you and take you to those places. So I do, I agree with that. I think that that spirituality is, you know, it's something that's in us all, whether we kind of are in touch with it or not.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is my personal belief, but for me, the, you know, when I was going through a period of mental crisis, which is not to say that it's over, really what I see it as, it was a spiritual crisis rather than a mental one. And I think it is, sometimes you might think it's a mental disease, but really it, potentially it's a spiritual disconnection. And I think the world's really complex and hard right now and having something bigger to hold us, you know, can be supportive and, you know, it's, so everyone has to make their own decision around that. But what I'm really seeing is that people who are doing well, I'm noticing that a lot of them have this bigger, this belly of spirituality or something that supports them. You know, it's really hard to do well on your own.
Well, I think that that's all part of, also people who are seeking more awareness in their life, right? So they're doing this kind of inner work or like inner child work or like whatever it is to, you know, access what they want to access to relieve themselves of some of these things that have been bearing down on them for years and years so that they can then become their truest selves, be, you know, really tap into their inner knowing again and to, and to their own awarenesses. So I think that that's like another level of sort of vulnerability in our conversations, another level of, you know, a theme that I've seen in a lot of these discussions is the inner work that these women are doing that are opening themselves up, really.
Yeah. I think there's like, if you set a goal or vision or for yourself, it's going to require you to change in some way, you know, who you've been up to here, it won't get you to there. And so that's where the inner work comes in. And definitely we're seeing that with these women, right? These high performers or leaders or whatever you want to call them, they're having to overcome resistance to change in themselves to fulfill their goals. And we just had a lot of fun with some of our guests too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So fun. So, and even talking about this sort of inner worker, you said like have to change things. It reminds me of Ashley Audrain with The Push and how, I mean, she was super fun. Like I would like to just sit across the table with her and hang out and, but she was super fun. And, what I loved is the story she told about how she wrote basically the whole thing out and her husband read it and was like, well, this isn't really the book that you set out to write. And she was like, what? Yeah. You know, but you have these people in your life who are totally honest with you. And then she realized that she hadn't like developed the characters the way that she had talked about it.
Yes.
Right. Instead had written this other sort of dialogue of what maybe others might expect. But I loved that. And she, like you said, she was really fun and creative and inspiring in that way of creativity, right?
Yeah, she was. She was just, her energy was so creative and light and energetic. And I think, you know, sometimes we can cover heavy themes on our podcast, which is great. We both love to learn about important topics and subjects. And then sometimes we just need to talk about sex.
Yeah.
like with yeah. Dr. Tess.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing with like the sex episode is that it's equally as important mm-hmm. as talking about resilience for us as women. Mm-hmm. It's equally as important for us to get in touch with our sexual selves, mm-hmm. our pleasure side of things, to know about what, like, you know, scientifically, this woman is so smart, PhD mm-hmm. in human sexuality. She's written 3 books. She didn't just talk about like, okay, here's, you know, the clitoris and, mm-hmm. and here's the, whatever you put on there. And that's what is going to, she like talked about, you know, I don't even know. I don't even have a language for it because I'm not like biologically in tune, but like things that we would not necessarily know. Yeah. And so she's like educating us, but it's fun because we're giddy
yeah.
at the same time, but it's like equally as important, right?
Yeah. I love that you say that. I agree. It is so easy to just put that part of ourselves on the back burner, right? Especially as moms, you know, especially if you have young kids, you just get into doing mom mode and forget about that side of ourselves. And yeah, if you have been neglecting that part of yourself, you should definitely listen to season 2, episode 14 with Dr. Jess. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one. 100%. And you know what? Another one that we had fun with too was the After 30 Girls, the After 30 podcast, which was just like a fun conversation. Mm-hmm. about things, right? Like, you know, we came together. They are like, it was funny because the After 30 and the Afterglow, we realized yeah. we had both had after. But they're like two super incredibly smart women having their own families, doing their own thing, but then also having a podcast, you know, and just connecting with two other women who are kind of on the same path, which is like, I would give up everything and do this 24/7 just to interview. But at the same time, we have other loves. We have other things that we want to do. It felt really comfortable. It felt really like safe, but fun as well.
Yeah. One of the other things we noticed is just women finding their afterglow. I mean, that's what we're about, right? Is finding yeah. your afterglow, no matter what your age, finding that, you know, true vision for yourself, the one that's truly compelling to you and who you are. And that's not about what other people have told you to be. And, you know, so Susie York is a prime example of that. Mm-hmm. Someone who at age 50 started a consumer packaged goods company and, you know, love good fats, you know. Sorry, I thought you froze for a minute. She did not freeze, so I will keep going.
I was just sitting there staring at you, yes. really in tune with what
yes.
you were saying.
Yeah.
So it looked like I was frozen. Like, yeah. really? What are you saying, Leslie?
You were listening so intently, but yeah. as all our listeners should be. But she, you know, at 50, starting a business, yeah. which has just won more awards, is carried everywhere, Costco. And she mm-hmm. did have a consumer packaged goods background, so she's able to rely on that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it takes a lot of ovaries to start a business at 50, right? It takes guts.
Yeah. Oh, I like that you said that. That's cool. I also loved Audrey Gordon as well, who, again, you know, like, moving towards things in her life, but didn't necessarily know where she was going to be. And then all of a sudden, here she is in the government and working in an area that's really passionate for her in mental health and education. You know, that's another episode where, you know, we were finished the episode and we were like, can we hang out?
I know. I love like, her. And one of the things I remember her saying is that she wished, and she didn't say it with a lot of regret or anything, but just, you know, what could have been possible for her had she found her inner voice, her confidence earlier, you know, that it had taken time for her to get there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think that's abnormal for people of our generation because we were raised with, you know, to not be confident or in general, right? Even no matter what your parents said, we had a lot of television, TV shows, Disney movies, princess movies that were not telling us to go out and get things. We didn't grow up with Elsa, you know, we grew up with Sleeping Beauty. And so those things affect us. And so, you know, I think that's one of the things it doesn't matter what your age is, if it's later in life, like Susie York or whatever, that's fine. Just make use of the time you have now.
Yeah. And you don't have to have one afterglow. Right? Mm-hmm. Like you can keep having them. And I love that about a lot of our guests is they've, you know, reinventing themselves along the way, which if I go way back to our first ever episode with Erica M, I mean, she was queen of reinvention. That's the name of that episode, which is, you know, keep reinventing yourself along the way. And as you get there, you're like, I've arrived, right? Mm-hmm. This is, I've done this now. This is the new me, or this is my new experience. And then, you know what? It doesn't have to be it. Mm-hmm. I think that, again, like breaking down that mold or that idea that we have to become one thing out of high school into university and be that for the rest of our lives. Like that is, again, a very masculine way of being, as opposed to being in flow and moving through where life takes you. As you grow and as you experience different things in your life, right? Like I may not have been interested in, I don't know, you know, some sort of social activism when I was in my 20s, because I had, you know, my head up my ass and I was like working as a bartender. Whereas, you know, in my 40s, that might be where I want to go to. And then, you know, even, you know, in my 50s, I may not be interested in helping, you know, young children or, you know, whatever it is. Like you're growing, you're learning, you're experiencing things. And so we need to let that be our guide to where we're going in our lives.
Yeah. And I want to give a shout out to W. Owusu Akaya from the Canadian Center for Gender and Sexual Diversity. And as you were just talking about, you know, we don't have to be just one thing. You know, it really makes me think of the work she's doing on gender and really breaking that down, right? It's not just male, female. There are shades of gray in between and different colors. And that's fine. Why do we have to pigeonhole ourselves according to what other people have said or what cult, you know, society has said? And she's really doing some incredible work there at an organization that we hadn't even heard of until that episode. She's doing incredible work there to build, bring equality to LGBTQ plus the population.
Yeah, and that when you talked about just, you know, doing something different, it reminds me of Rhonda McEwen too, who's like in, you know, the science and tech world, like technology in the universities, doing incredible things for technology research, right? And now, she's all of a sudden, she's the dean at the University of Toronto Mississauga campus. She's taking over the diversity and inclusion, I don't know what the full exact title is, but, you know, committee, like there's all these different things that, you know, these women are doing that are breaking down the status quo. Like who, you know, she even said, like, you know, she was one of the only women she went to work in her field at first. And now, luckily, you know, she's seeing more and more of that in her classes. So I just want to talk about that for a second, about our younger generation, because I was thinking about our daughters. And I was thinking about what you said about how we're raised. And so we have more trouble disrupting the status quo, but we're learning, we're growing, you know, like, especially with all this work that we're doing. But what about our daughters? Do you feel like we are modeling or imparting to them the permission that we want to be given to go ahead and express themselves, live their best lives, tap into their inner knowing? Or have we been so conditioned that we're still controlling, manipulating, putting a hold on our children?
Well, I do worry about the influence, my influence on the early years for my older daughter, because I think there was a period where I was definitely modeling outdated ways of being. And so that unfortunately got wired in at an early age. And then I think the other factor is just still what happens on social media. It's not empowering what's going on there. And so that, you know, those two things in combination have not been great factors. But you know, I think that all that speaks to is the importance of really just walking the talk, you know, like I think it is always, if we can change it, you know, in our 40s.
Yeah. I don't think it's undoable, right? Yeah. And there's nothing that's so insurmountable that we can't help guide them as well. Yeah. I like to say that I think that we will see them, you know, becoming and being more empowered than we were, just because there's a lot more of that in society too. Like we're seeing a lot more of that. So I'm encouraged with that. And I'm excited because I'm hoping, and we've talked about this before, that we will bring them on in season three and
I like that.
Have a little discussion with them. So everybody needs to sort of stay tuned for our season three, because there's some exciting topics, some exciting guests coming up, but maybe we can get Naomi and Stella together if they agree to it and share their voices, because I think it's important for, you know, everybody to hear the generations, and I would love to hear how we're affecting them.
Yeah.
Oh, open, wow. Honest conversation.
Oh, that we should do it. I think Stella definitely is, she's a confident girl, right? She knows herself well. Naomi, she could use some support in that area, but I'd love to throw her into the fire with love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With love.
Yeah.
We'll hold the basket under them. Yes. We'll support them.
Yeah.
And then we'll just be there for them, and anything goes. They're allowed to say whatever they want.
Yeah, totally.
And then we'll go to therapy afterwards.
Yeah. I like that idea. Yeah. That'll be fun.
But so, some really exciting things for season 3 coming up. So if you're listening right now, make sure that you are signed up for the podcast on season 3, and every episode that you listen to, make sure that you are liking, putting on your 5 stars. You know, if you're putting on 2 stars, don't bother.
Yeah. Don't.
Or just don't even bother.
Do that somewhere else.
Really, yeah. Leave your 2 stars somewhere else. Stick your 5 stars there and maybe leave a comment, leave a little review. We'd love that. That's super helpful for us. But season 3, more stories from across the country, more disruptors in different fields coming up. And so talk about one of your really exciting topics that you want to focus on, Liz.
Yeah, I mean, definitely it's the environment. You know, I think that I was telling you that I had taken a workshop recently with this professor out of Harvard, and he said, never before has global attention been focused on only one thing, right? And that's COVID. Like, this is highly transformative for the human population, that we're all globally, collectively focused on one thing. Mm. And, you know, so now that we have the world's attention, where will it go next? And I do believe it's the environment, because I think the environment, we are at a tipping point where our own survival is being threatened.
It affects all of us.
It affects all of us. It affects the whole world. So it's either like, it's just like COVID. We're all in this together. There's not one country that gets out if all the countries don't get out, right? We all have to work together. And I think the environment, this is practice. Honestly, I think it's practice for dealing with the environment next. So I really want to have on guests who can speak to the environment, what we can all do, you know, how they're disrupting the forces that are destroying the environment, all of that. Love to have that on.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you talked also about the intersection of social justice and environmental disruption, which I think is really important. So we'll be tackling that as well. We'll be tackling a lot of some super fun stuff with expression and creativity, and one of my favorite subjects, pleasure.
Yes.
So we have a lot to look forward to in season 3. And like I said, make sure that you go back and listen to some of these episodes, because like, they're just so good. They're so good.
I know. There's so many good episodes.
Yeah. So much value. And so like, comment, leave a review.
And let us know who you want on the show too. Yeah. We'd love to hear it. If any suggestions, we're open
to
that.
Tell us.
Yeah.
So TBC, to be continued. We'll see you in season 3.
Oh, I'm excited already.
That's a wrap for this episode of The Afterglow. Yet another courageous Canadian sharing her vision.
Do us a favor and lift a sister up by sharing this podcast with others who want to find their afterglow. And let us know, what do you want to hear about? Who do you want to hear from? And what is your afterglow? Slide on into our DMs at The Afterglow Podcast Official and leave us a message.
Did you love this podcast? Be sure to like and rate us on Spotify and iTunes and wherever you tune in. Until next time.